do want to welcome you to week three of this current series that we are calling The Characters of Christmas. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at ordinary people, just a handful of ordinary people that God used in a very powerful way to make the very first Christmas possible. And my hope in this whole series is that as we look at these people or groups of people, that we'll see some things that we can apply to our lives, that we can take and make them our very own. So what we've done so far up to this point, in week one we looked at Joseph, who is the father, the earthly father of Jesus. And what we learned from the life of Joseph is very simple, and that is that obedience is huge. Obedience is a key to being used by God. Obedience is a key to being able to receive the fullness of God's blessing in our life. Obedience. That's what we learned from the life of Joseph. Then last week we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we learned a very important word that not many of us like to talk about too often. We looked at the word submission. Don't you love that word, submit? We looked at the word submission, and we said that submission is when we voluntarily, that's the key word, place God's will above our own will. Remember the verse where Mary said, I am your what? Servant. So as a servant, what we do is we bow, we submit to the will of the Father. And we found out that that's not a weak thing, that's a powerful thing, that's a beautiful thing, that when we come to this place and it's all about our hearts where we submit and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. So what we want to do today is we're going to change direction just a little bit. And instead of looking at one specific individual today, we're going to look at a group. And the group of people that we're going to look at is a group that is commonly referred to either as the Magi or the Wise Men, okay? So if you have your Bibles this morning, I would love for you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. That's where we're going to look this morning, Matthew chapter 2, because that's where we read of these wise men. We're going to read the first 12 verses together. But before we read, and as you're turning this morning, I need to tell you a little about these wise men so you kind of have a feel for who these guys are. These are very bright individuals. They're the professors. They're the philosophers of their day. They were brilliant, highly educated. They were trained in things like medicine, history, religion, prophecy. They were also trained in what we would call today as astrology, okay? And back then, we need to understand that astrology was strongly connected to people's search for God. So these guys were on the move. They were searching for God. So what they would do is they would search the skies, they would search the stars to find questions or the answer to some of life's greatest questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? I think it's amazing. We're thousands of years removed from this story. But it's amazing that those are still some of the questions that many, many people ask. That's, who am I? Where am I going? Why am I here? And I love these guys, and I think it's appropriate that they're called the wise men because they were wise enough to understand that the answers to their question wasn't in their wealth, wasn't in their riches, but the answer to their questions was, we got to get a hold of God. We got to find God because in the Creator, we find the answers to our life. He's the one that made us. He knows how to answer all the questions that we face, okay? So what I want you to see is that these wise men were men that were actively seeking after God. I want you to get that it wasn't passivity. They weren't passive, but they were very, very active about, we need to get a hold of God. We need to figure out what this star, what this is all about, because we know that this is a king. So let's do this. Let's look at the text, and I'll read it. You can follow along. Good news, if you didn't bring your Bible, I did bring mine. That's good to know, right? Or the words are going to be on the screen right above me. So let's just read this, and we'll see if there's something we can find that we can apply to our life. Let's pick it up. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. We're told that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking this question, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and as was everyone in Jerusalem, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law, and he asked the question, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, meaning the prophet Micah. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Important, first appeared. Then he told them to go to Bethlehem and to search carefully for the child. And when you find him, And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down, and they worshiped Jesus. Then they opened their treasure chest, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them not to return to Herod. Isn't that a beautiful passage? That's a passage just loaded with a lot of content, a lot of different things that we can talk about. But this morning, since our time is limited, I thought that we only have time to really look at one big idea, one big thought. And my heart's desire is that if we look at this one thing, that we'll take it and apply it to our lives. And throughout this week, we'll ask ourselves, where am I at in that area? Okay? So what I want to do today is I want to look at this word worship. Worship, okay? Because if you look back over the 12 verses that we just read this morning, that word is a very important word. It appears three different times in our text. Worship, okay? Look at verse 2. I put these back on the screen. Remember the wise men, they asked, where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose. We have come to what? Everybody say it together.
Worship. Worship.
We've come to worship. I think that's amazing. From the very beginning, from the very outset of their journey, they had this purpose. From the very beginning, they had this purpose that they wanted to come and what? Worship. They wanted to worship Christ. Second time we see that word used is in verse 8. It says, then he, referring to Herod, told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, hey, come on back and see me. Why? So that I can go and what? Worship. You think, wow, that Herod, he must have been something else. He wanted to worship Jesus. I want to let you know that's called a what? It's called a lie. Herod, if you know, was a very insecure, he was a very violent man, and he had no intention whatsoever to come and worship Jesus. No intention whatsoever. But actually, if you look down to, I think it's verse 13, you'll find out that his whole motive in wanting to find Jesus was to do what? To kill Jesus. You need to understand this is a very insecure person, a very insecure leader, a very insecure king. And he wanted what? He wanted the worship for himself. Now they're saying, you're going to worship Jesus? So he wanted him killed. And I guarantee you, he would do it because this is a guy who killed his wife. Come on, guys. Don't even get that idea in your mind, okay? He killed his wife. He killed his three sons. He killed his mother-in-law. Well, you might want to think about it. Well, no, I'm only kidding. By the way, you know I'm joking, right? Everybody say joking, okay? But I just want to let you see, he killed his uncle, he killed many others. So this guy is serious about, I want to get my hands on this little Jesus. Because he's not going to be worshipped. I'm the one people are going to worship. Okay? So he was very serious about that. But the third time this verse is used is in verse 11. It says, as the wise men entered the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And I just can't imagine this. We're talking about grown men. We're talking about sophisticated, educated, influential people, men, when they come and they discover Jesus in the house, and we'll talk about what that looked like in a few minutes, what did they do? They bowed down. We talked about that November 1st. We talked that one of the ways we worship is how? By bowing. Did they bow just at their waist? Did they bow to their knee? I believe they bowed to their knee and they worshiped the Christ child. So what I want you to see as we look in this text this morning is that these wise men, I think the name is so appropriate. They were men of worship. They were men that's what their heart was all about. They worshiped. You said, well, how did they worship Jesus? Well, there's a lot of different ways that we can worship. Worship is what we learned is a lifestyle. It's not only what we do here, it's how we live our life. It's a life of worship. So how did these guys worship? Well, they bowed down, but the one way I want to look at this morning is they worship by making great sacrifice. So don't say it out loud, but I just want you to say that word in your head, in your heart, sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's how these guys, that's one of the ways in which they worship is through sacrifice. And two of the specific, more specific ways that they worship is what I want to talk about this morning. We're not going to be long here this morning. Number one, we're going to see that these wise men sacrificed their time. Everybody just say that word, time. What do I mean by they sacrificed their time? Here's what I mean. If you're like me, I grew up in church, very thankful for my heritage, very thankful for godly parents. We were in church all the time. I told you that many times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Anytime the doors were open, we were in church. So I heard the Christmas story probably hundreds of times. And when you grow up sometime, you think that this is how it was. It was Christmas Eve. The guy saw the star on Christmas Eve, and then they went out. And then on Christmas Eve, they saw the Christ child. Okay? And what we think of a lot of times is we think of the star kind of like we think of what is like a searchlight. Does anybody remember searchlights? I think I have a picture of a searchlight. Does anybody remember searchlights? Maybe not you younger people, but when I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, it seemed like searchlights were out all the time. So what would happen is you'd be outside at night and you'd see this searchlight. And what would it do automatically? It would just get your curiosity. You would want to know what was at the end of that searchlight. It was a great marketing ploy, okay? So what you would do is you would jump in your nice car, and you would do what? You'd go on, you'd make different turns, right, left, go through a field, whatever it took. You would go and you would make a search for what that light was all about, and you would end up over at probably something like Fleet Farm. And to find out that all their hunting gear was on sale this week. You know what I mean? So you'd be like, oh, that was what that was all about. So what I want you to see here is searchlight. You would just get in your car, maybe drive 5 or 6 miles, end up at Target, wherever, and you'd find out they were having this big sale, okay? But this wasn't the case for these wise men. It was far from it. See, many scholars believe that these men traveled at least 1,000+ miles. So I want you to get that this morning. There was an investment of time here from the time when they first saw the star until the time when they actually saw Jesus. There's a lot of time that's involved here. And even though they were very wealthy men, they weren't jumping into their SUV Lexus. No, they were traveling by foot or by camel. You've seen the pictures. So these guys are invested in finding out what is at the end of this star. They knew it was a kingly star. They knew there was a king at the other end. That's what history tells us. But it was a journey, okay? It was a journey. And I found out this week that it was a journey that probably took at least, listen to this, at least 1 year. Some scholars say it may have taken all the way up to 2 years, okay? And we see that. We see the support of my thought there in verse 11. Let me just show you the verse real quick. It says, when they came into the, everybody said the word, house. Notice the text doesn't say manger. Why? Because Mary and Joseph are no longer in the manger. Many scholars believe now it's a year or two past, they're living in their first starter home. Okay? They're living in a home. And then it says they saw the what? Everybody say these words. Young child. So we're not talking about a baby. We're talking about a young child. So just think, this journey all started in what people may have thought was, or today would be modern day Iraq, when they first saw the star, and they go on this journey. So what I want you to see is that these men worship Jesus. How? By sacrificing their time. Time that they could have spent being comfortable, relaxing, enjoying their wealth. But I think they were willing to take that journey of time because they knew that at the end of that star was the answer to everything in life they were looking for. It wasn't going to be in their wealth. It wasn't going to be in their intellect. It wasn't going to be in their influence that they would find the answer. But these guys, all in, with all their heart, understood that the answer was going to be at the end of this journey, was going to be in God Himself, okay? So the first way that I want to point out this morning that these men worshiped Jesus by sacrificing was with their time. They invested, many scholars believe, several months. How long do you think it takes to get on a camel and go 1,000+ miles? It doesn't just take a night. It doesn't just take a week. But many scholars think it may have taken upwards to 2-3 months for them to find Jesus. Actually, the text would tell us 1 or 2 years, okay? So they invested their time. Second, they sacrificed by investing. Is everybody ready for this one? Say, give it to me. Oh, that's weak. You got to say, give it to me. Okay, about 5 of you. That's impressive. They sacrificed their treasure. Look at verse 11. They entered the house, saw the child. They bowed down. They worshiped. Check out what they did as a response of their worship. They opened their treasure chest. So I can just see this. They're opening their treasure chest, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The thing I like about this is that we see that, you know, we always think that Christmas and gift giving at Christmas was all about Santa Claus. That's where it originated. But actually, it didn't originate with Santa Claus. I'm sorry to break some of your hearts, okay? But this whole gift giving thing originated with the wise men, the magi. They gave the gift of gold. What is gold? It's a very rare and expensive metal, okay? It represents wealth. It represents power. Originally, this was a gift that you would give to a king. So they gave a kingly gift to Jesus. Second, they gave the gift of frankincense, which is also called, we would call it incense today. And really, it's a glittering, odorous, they say like a bark from a certain type of tree that you would give as a gift to deity. I think this is interesting. Then they gave this gift of myrrh. It's kind of like perfume that you would they would pull out of rose petals, okay? And what they would do after a person would die is they would anoint and prepare the body for burial with this myrrh, okay? So I love these gifts because they really point to who this baby is or this one-year-old that they're discovering. They see that, hey, this gold pointed that this is majesty in our presence. This is a king. How many people know Jesus is the king? Amen? He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And frankincense, there we go. That was hard to get out, is that he's deity. Jesus is God. Does everybody believe that this morning? Jesus is God. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Spirit, he's one, he's God. And then myrrh means that he's going to die. He's going to come and he's going to die. This is his life mission. He's going to give his life for one reason, for our sins. That's the whole life mission of Jesus. We see it all the way back from the gifts that were given, that he's a king, he's God, and God came in the form of man for one reason, for you and me, because we have a problem, we have an issue, and that is sin. And sin separates us from a holy God. It breaks our relationship. We're far from God, but Jesus came and gave us the bridge that we can have with God through his blood that was shed on the cross. Amen? And that's the beauty that we see in these gifts. So we can see here in this text that they sacrifice by giving of their treasure. Okay? And I'm sure there's a lot of different things that they could have done with their treasure. They could have bought the newest things, all the gadgets, all the toys. They could have done all the different things. They could have bought a new camel. Doesn't that sound excited? A new camel, there's a lot of things they could have bought. But instead, what they do is they humbly open their treasure chest, and they offer a gift as an act of worship. They sacrifice their treasure, okay? And there's a lot of different things they could have done. So this is today's life lesson. This is where I want to get you to this morning. Today's life lesson is this, and it's on the screen. And that is, if you're going to live a life of worship, one of the things it's going to require is sacrifice. I want you to think about that this morning. If you're going to live a life of worship, it's going to require sacrifice, okay? So let me ask you a couple questions with that thought in mind. Number one, are you willing to worship the Lord even if it means sacrificing time? Are you willing to worship the Lord by sacrificing time? How many people know it takes time to know God? It takes time like any other relationship. There's time that we need to invest. Are you willing to make the sacrifice of time? I love that you're here this morning. You have sacrificed time to be here. That's a wonderful way of worship, being in God's house together. Are you willing to take the time it takes to fulfill His will, His call for your life? It's all worship. Our life is a life of worship. It's a lifestyle. And a big part of that lifestyle is the time that it takes, the things that you need to do. It's going to take time to be people of worship, okay? And then the second one is this. Are you willing to worship the Lord even if it means sacrificing your hard-earned, everybody say the word,
treasure.
That's mine. That's my treasure. I worked hard for that treasure. I'll do with that treasure what I want to do with that treasure. Well, a life of worship is a life that's saying, Lord, everything I have is whose? Is yours. I think it's Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord and all that it contains. It's all His anyway. But as an act of worship, what we do is we give of the treasure that God has entrusted to us. See, a lot of people, they look at these offerings and these gifts and they look at it and say, well, all the church wants is my money. But I want to let you know that I think one of the greatest acts of worship is in our giving to the work that God wants to do, to further the work of His kingdom. That's why I love looking across the bottom of the platform this morning. We have 13 boxes that represent 13 different families. And what each one of you have done, well, most of you, is you have taken a little Christmas tree and you've taken the tree and you bought the things that we're filling these boxes with this morning. You've invested time, you've invested treasure so that we can love God or we can love on people in a practical way and we can give people these Christmas gifts. That is investing of your treasure. But let's not just get caught up in it once or twice a year. Let's make this a lifestyle, saying, Lord, I'll give my time. Lord, I'll worship you by giving of my treasure. I'll be a good steward to the things that you have given me. And as an act of worship, God, I'll give of time. And I won't open my treasure chest, but Lord, there's times that I have to open my wallet. I have to open my checkbook to give to the cause of the kingdom. Is everybody hearing me this morning? And those are just ways. If we're going to live a lifestyle of worship, there's going to be some sacrifice. And that's why that's what we see in these guys, these wise men. They were willing to sacrifice, willing to give the time, willing to give of their treasure. Why? Because they knew, wow, it was for Jesus. It's for the King. It's for the one who died for us. And we worship through our sacrifice. Amen? As I was preparing this talk this week, one of the thoughts that kept coming back to my mind was worship. It's when we just basically, the simplest definition is ascribing worth and value to something. And I've heard several times people say that we all worship something or another. It could be a person, it could be a thing. It could be a lifestyle. What we do is we ascribe worth and value to that. So I agree with that thought wholeheartedly, that we all worship something or another. And I have found out in my life that whatever I ascribe my worth and value, my worship to, it's so easy to invest my time in. I mean, one of the things I like to do, and one of the things I place value in, it would be weird for a lot of people, is I like to I like to stay active. So it's amazing to me how many times I have to battle between, is that really my top priority, is to go to the gym today and do this and do that? Why? Because I'm willing to put time into the thing I value. I'm also willing to put treasure into the thing I value. I don't even think twice about putting my treasure into that thing that I value doing. I mean, it just comes so easy. It's easy to give that treasure away to the thing that I value. And if you're like me, I'm constantly on this issue where, God, may my worship be to you alone. And I'm constantly in this battle. Lord, may I not place greater value in that thing or this person or that other issue, but Lord, may it always be you. May I be considered a wise man. May I be considered a wise person and see that the most important thing is to worship not a thing or not another person, but Jesus Christ. And I have found that when I come to that point, it's easy. Lord, yes, what do you want me to do? I'll put the time. Yes, what do you want me to do? I'll open my treasure and give it towards you, Lord Jesus. So my whole heart's cry to you and me today is we'll just really stop and think, what is that thing we ascribe our worth and value to? And sometime really the simple test is by what are you giving the most of your time or your treasure to? So Lord, I come to you this morning broken. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that nothing else would come in between you and my worship, that I would worship you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, that you'll be the thing I value more than anything, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us not only today in this next few minutes, but Lord, I pray you'd speak to us throughout this week. Lord, that we'll all stop and consider what is it that we worship? What is it that we're willing to give our time and our treasure towards? And Lord, speak to us. Help us by your grace. By your grace, Lord, help us, I pray, to keep you first and foremost in our heart and our lives. May you truly be that pearl of great price, that thing of most value. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for our time together in your presence this morning.